Good evening. Thank you once again for allowing me to come and speak to you tonight. You guys were really nice this morning. I really appreciate all the compliments and elbows that were received. I really appreciate it. So like I said this morning, you know, I'm in college, and I'd like to start with a story. So last year, I was a freshman. I'm a sophomore now. It was the night before classes started. We had this big thing, you know, we had Interface, which is just where they kind of get us acquainted with everything, and it's a lot of fun. And so it was the night before classes, and I decided, you know what, tonight's going to be the night I finally do my laundry on my own in college. I'm going to do the whole shebang. I'm going to wash it, dry it, and fold it, and I'm about to be an adult. You know, I'm going to get on this. So I'm checking the computer because they had a lot of the classes loaded. It was late, so I was kind of like, okay, I'll do this and go to bed. So the way it works in my dorm room is that the laundry room is in the basement for the entire dorm to use. So I take all my laundry down there, I put it in the washer, I let it run for an hour. And I come back down, and there's two guys talking in there. And I didn't know who they were, but I just take my laundry out, start putting it in the dryer, and you gotta understand, at home, at my house, we have a front-facing washer and dryer. So I didn't really get any bad feelings when I started, you know, putting stuff down into what I thought was the dryer. So the guy sitting in there, one of them is like, "Hey, man," and I'm like, "Well, hey," and he says, "You do know that that's the washer and that's the dryer, right?" And I was like, oh. I took a step back. I was like, well, I do now. You know, I was wondering why my clothes were warm. But, you know, being in college was tough. Starting out was tough. I had to take responsibility for a lot of things that were my own. You know, if the room's not clean, nobody's going to come clean it. If my laundry's not done, nobody's going to do it. I had to be responsible and do things on my own. And do things on my own when it comes to everything, when it comes to things that I hadn't even thought about before. In our faith, we have to realize that our faith is something that we have to take responsibility for. To believe in God is not only enough in our life. To just go to church is not what it's all about. So how do we take responsibility? How do we take hold of our faith? Well, we have to stop victimizing ourselves. A lot of the time we have a victim mindset. When I would be in high school, middle school, my dad always when they were getting on to me about something that happened, I was like, well, my teacher is just this way, or the assignment's this way. My dad had said, don't be a Vic. Don't be a Vic. And he was talking about, he's telling me not to be a victim. A victim is somebody who is helpless and for something that happens to them. They're in a situation and they can't control what's happened to them. Now, the victim mentality is the mentality that you are powerless, and we start to think that way. Now, sometimes it's because we've legitimately been beaten down by life. There was a experiment we talked about in psychology in my high school one time that was really interesting to me. They tied a baby elephant, and you may have heard about this before, put a stake in the ground, and they tied a baby elephant to the stake when it was really little, and so it couldn't get out of this little circle because it was tied to it. It had this little circle it had to stay in, and it would not go so far away without being pulled by the rope that it was on. Well, of course, the elephant grows up and becomes a fully sized elephant, and they're so big you can't tie one of those down, but it still, as a grown elephant, would not step away from that pole. It would still stay around that circle it was supposed to, and it wouldn't go away. So sometimes we can legitimately feel like a victim because we have been beaten down by life. Things have happened to us. We haven't been able to do all the things that we want to do for God, and it's been hard. Sometimes that gets us really, really down, and we start to expect these difficulties and start to just feel like those are destined for us. But then sometimes, just makes us feel better. Sometimes, think about how we're a victim, think about how we've been affected, how we're not in the wrong, makes us feel better about what's happening. It's easier for us to make it not our fault. Because, well, it was this. Or, well, my friend did this. Or, if so-and-so wasn't being this way, then I wouldn't be this way. It just feels better because we're taking the blame, the responsibility off of ourselves, and we're having an outlet to say, that's not me. It's not my fault. I've done this way. Proverbs 16:18 simply says, pride goes before the destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. That feeling better, that comes from pride. And pride can really, really destroy us. This set of thinking about our faith and about our walk with God can be really, really destructive. It can really affect our faith. It can make us stagnant because, well, if you believe it's not your fault, then you're not going to do anything about it. If you believe that other people are affecting your faith, that it's some set of outside forces, then you're not going to do anything about it because, well, it's not my fault. It makes us stagnant. I was like that for a while in my life, my own life. I was baptized when I was little, and I went to middle school, and I was going to church, and I was doing all these things, but I was stagnant because I had this victim mentality. This morning, we talked about 1 Kings chapter 19 with Elijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, something we didn't talk about. Starting in verse 10, he says, so he said, well, starting in verse 9, when God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In verse 10, he says, so he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Now we see Elijah's situation, and God asks him, what's going on here? Why are you asking that you should die? Where are you, Elijah? And he asks this question again later, and Elijah gives the same response. Elijah says, I'm alone. All these people have left. I'm absolutely alone. But think about the situation. Was Elijah really alone? Or did he do that to himself? Was he not the one who ran, who abandoned his servant? And then he runs away. He runs off in this cave by himself. And then God asks him, what's wrong? And he says, well, all these people, they've made me alone. I'm alone. And God later tells him towards the end of the chapter that he is not alone. But Elijah had a victim mentality. He thought that he was helpless. He thought he couldn't do anything. There was so much Elijah couldn't do. We hurt ourselves. Our way of thinking in life is so, so important because it affects what we do. If we don't have the right way of thinking, we end up hurting our own faith and really just making it other people's fault. So because of that, we have to take our faith into our own hands. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Our faith is ours. It's ours to be involved in. Satan, we talked about this morning, that Satan wants you to fail. Satan is powerful. We have power over him, but we can let him be powerful. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. They ate of the fruit, but why? It's one word. Don't. Satan didn't force Adam and Eve to eat the fruit. He didn't shove it down their throat. He just talked them into it. He talked them slowly into it. He said, you will not surely die. Because they said, God said we're going to die. He said, you will not surely die. And that's all it took. We have to realize that we can have power. This morning we talked about having strength. We can have strength, we can have power, but we can't just let our faith pass us by. We can't just be in a place of life where we're not really doing anything. Because that is another way our faith becomes stagnant. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, like I said, if we just stand against the devil, if we just make sure that we are doing things, because we have to be active. Faith is more than, like I said earlier, it's more than just going to church. It's more than just having the devos. It's more than hearing the sermons. We have to read our Bible. We have to talk to God. It can't be a secondary thing to us. This is the most important thing in our life. Because when we die, those present things, those things that we were so worried about that we got involved in are going to pass away. Nobody said that we became Christians because it was going to be something easy. I don't know if you've watched the news recently, but the world is not always for us. The world is not always for Christianity, for our faith. The world creates its own definitions of what is a good person. What does a person like this do? We can't listen to that. Jesus went through it all. Jesus had a tough time. He suffered on the cross. In life, we think of our faith as, maybe sometimes, instead of it being too easy, we think of it as too hard. We think of it, it's impossible. But Jesus did the impossible stuff. Jesus suffered on the cross. We don't have to do that. Jesus saved us. We don't have to save ourselves. All we have to do is what he commands us. Jesus did the hard part. Now it's our turn to do the easy stuff, to go out, to read your Bible, to pray, to go out and spread that to the world, no matter the cost, no matter what happens. Jesus had bad days. We're going to have tough days with that too. To fix sin, to fix ourselves, we have to fix that sin within us. You have to be willing to look at yourself in the mirror and realize what's going on. You have to realize that you have to correct yourself. We can't wait for that angel to come out of the sky and tell us, well, you're doing this wrong. We can't make exceptions. We have to take a look in the mirror, be honest with ourselves. You know how important Bible reading is? You know how important that? They did a survey I read a while back about students reading their Bible. And that it was different age ranges, but the one that I saw was students in high school and in college, and they did a study, and they gauged how they evaluated these kids based on certain spiritual topics. How much, you know, did they drink? Did they hang out with these types of people? Did they do all these different things? Did they go to parties? They asked them all these things, and then they asked them, how much do you read your Bible? Once a week, twice a week, and three times a week, it was significantly all these things correlated. Some would drink, some would use foul language, some would not go to church. But four times a week, it spiked. All the good stuff, the going to church, the staying away from bad things, it spiked. Now, I'm not up here saying you have to do four times a week. That is like the regimen. But we need to be reading our Bibles, if not every day. There's 7 days in a week, and we can read up more than just once a day as well. What matters is that we're taking in God's Word, and that we're also talking to God. Prayer is one of the best avenues that we have, because we can talk directly to God. We don't think about it like that. You know, I was taught to pray from the time I was little, and we often think about it as kind of like writing a letter to Santa Claus, but it's not. We're talking to the Heavenly Father who has power over everything. We have to take those avenues. Finally, we have to realize that God has our back. This morning, we talked about strength. We have strength. It comes from God. True strength. Strength that's not just, oh, well, I got this. Strength that is, we can get through the storms of life. We can get through the hard parts. Isaiah 40:35 says, God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. We have power. We have power simply because of God. God is always there. God does not change. people change. We change. Think about the example that I used this morning with Peter walking on the water. Jesus didn't move. Peter made the mistake. Jesus was right there the entire time. God's not going anywhere, and he's never gone anywhere. God is still here. God's here in 2020. He's here in 2021, 2022. He's here in for all of eternity. He brings us up when we're weak. And too many times we find ourselves saying, it's a little problem. It's a little thing going on. It's a little struggle. I'll just suffer through it, and I'll get back to my life. We find ourselves saying, I got this. There's nothing wrong with going to God. God's not too big for any of your problems. God loves you, and he wants to be there for you. We just have to let him in. We have Jesus' blood there for us as well. The greatest sacrifice that was ever given. Look at all that God's done in the Bible. Look at all that strength that God displayed. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the entire Bible. We have that with us. One of my favorite expressions in Romans, Paul says that we cry to God as Abba, Father. I love that. Because the expression Abba is talking about as a baby clings to their father. We have to be like that. We could be 2 years old, we could be 99 years old, but we have to cling to God as if we are a child. Have you been doing that recently? Have you kind of let faith pass you by? Have you let the things of this world get to you and life's just been one way, or has it kind of been wishy-washy? Have we been lukewarm? Well, and tonight's the night to take a look at yourself and say, this is my faith, and I am going to take it. I am going to pray to God and take strength from God. You're not strong enough to do it on your own. You're not. But you are strong enough to do it with God. So if you need to come forward this morning, or this evening, I'm sorry. If you need to come forward this evening, you need prayer. You need to get your life right, and you're ready to change your faith and end the year on a high note, then you can do that. Or maybe you're ready to start off your walk with God. You're ready to take that leap and be baptized into the waters of baptism. You could do that now as we stand and as we sing.